John chapter 15 this morning in the Bible there in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Chapter 15. Again, we've got some homemade barbecue ready for you after service. It is our folks. We're not a big church, but I'll tell you one thing. God has given us some good people. God has given us some good people. It ain't because I went out and bought them. It's because Jesus' blood bought them. And they were purchased with a price. And God has brought them to this church. And we're so proud of them and thankful for them. But we want you to stay and eat, visitors. It ain't going to cost you anything. You can't beat that price no matter where you go. I mean, I know you can go Taco Bell and spend a buck for something that somebody else did who know what to, but I'm telling you, all this food is homemade and it's clean, okay? So please don't rush out. I would like to ask you, those of you who have children in next door in the children's church, as soon as I'm done preaching here, about an hour and a half from now, don't get nervous, I'm just playing with you. Please go get your children and kind of bring them back in here and just wait for a few minutes because we've got some last minute preparations to put some chairs. We're going to be eating out in the back parking lot. Beautiful day, so thank God for it. That was another answer to prayer. So if you got some children, would you mind getting them out of the children's church, just kind of waiting back here, because we're going to steal their chairs out from under them and take them out to the tables out back. So, but anyway, we'll have a good time together. If you found your place in John 15, I'm going to ask you to stand one last time out of love and respect for this book. This book is the reason I'm saved, and if you're saved today, it's the reason you're saved. John chapter 15 and verse 12, it says, "This is my commandment," Jesus speaking here, "that ye love one another as I have loved you." Can y'all hear me in the back?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. I don't usually have a problem with being heard. What? I can't hear you now. You don't have a microphone on. Verse 12 of John chapter 15. "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me." I'll leave off reading there this morning and draw your attention back to verse 14. "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." Jesus is speaking here, and he says, "Ye are my friends." I want to preach to you on being the friend of Jesus. Let's bow for prayer. Father, I ask you this morning, once again, as I prayed and begged to you for weeks, Lord, every day, that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit, that this place would be filled with your presence, that this precious book would go forth in power, in authority, in love and compassion, and Lord, it would hit home in every heart here in this place. Lord, I thank you for what Jesus means to me, my family, and to all of us here in this church. God, I pray for those that are sitting here today that are lost, that do not know for sure that if they died right now that they'd go to heaven. Oh God, would you please speak to their hearts. Save them today. Draw them to Jesus. Make us all better because of being here in your presence today. Bind Satan, I do ask you, Lord. Don't let him hinder what you want to do here today. Give your Holy Spirit sweet liberty. Plead the blood of Christ there this morning. Here, Father, thank you for the power that you still have today. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. The friends of Jesus. I would ask you today, don't raise your hand, but if you can honestly say, if you honestly think anyway and believe with all your heart that you are Jesus' friend. Now before you answer, ask yourself a few questions. How do I know if I'm Jesus' friend? Who are Jesus' friends? Is everyone automatically a friend of Jesus? And then ask yourself, maybe if you're not sure, I wonder, am I a friend of Jesus? I believe that since you're here today with us in church on a Sunday morning, I believe that you at least desire to have some kind of friendship with our Lord and Savior. Amen. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. Now, if you came for the brisket, that's fine, but you could have found brisket somewhere else. You're here today, I believe, not because you don't care about being a friend of Jesus, but I believe there's some desire in your heart, there's some desire in your life, there's something lacking possibly in your life, or maybe you have this thing figured out, but I don't believe that's the case. I believe we all are growing, we all are moving in one direction or another in our lives. I believe we all need to come to a place, and what I'm going to try to do today, just for a few minutes, is help us understand who are the friends of Jesus. I guess we need to begin by looking at what it really means to be a friend, what makes someone a friend. We talked about this in Sunday school for a few minutes, but the Bible tells us that a friend loveth at all times. All times. A true friend sticks closer than even a brother. A true friend is someone who's honest with you, even if it hurts your feelings. A true friend will be honest with you so they can help you and try to protect you from harm. A true friend is one who understands you and loves you. And the only way to have a true friend, can I say to you, is to first be one. To first be one. It reminds me of a story I heard. A little convenience store owner, was tacking a sign above his door. It said, "Puppies for sale." Now, of course, signs like that attract little boys. So a little boy appeared under the sign, sure enough, not long after he put the sign up there. He says, "Sir, how much are you selling the puppies for?" And the store owner said, "Well, it depends on the puppy, but anywhere from $30 to $50. Little boy reached in his pocket, said, "Sir, I've got $2.37. Can I please look at them at least?" The store owner smiled and called him out of the kennel and, excuse me, here came Lady, the mother, ran down the aisle of the store, followed by five little balls of fur. One in the very back was limping very, very obviously, just very hard, just laboring to even walk and lagging behind the rest. Immediately that little boy saw that little puppy in the back and said, "I want that one. What's wrong with that little dog?" he said. The store owner said, "Well, he's got a bad hip and he's never going to walk right. He's always going to be lame." Little boy said, "That's the one I want. That's the one I want." And the owner said, "No, son, listen, you don't want to buy that little dog. I told you that little dog is never going to walk, never going to be able to run, never going to be able to walk right. You really don't want him. I'll just give him to you. He's not worth your money. And that little boy got real upset. That little boy looked straight in that store owner's eyes and pointed his finger and says, I don't want you to give him to me. That little dog is worth every bit as much as all the other dogs, and I'll pay full price. In fact, I'll give you my $2.37 right now, and I'll pay you 50 cents a month until he's paid for. And this little boy was determined. That store owner said, son, I'm telling you, you really don't want to buy this little dog. He's never going to be able to run and play with you. He's never going to jump around like other puppies. Little boy, at that right about that time, reached down and rolled up his pant leg. And he showed that store owner a very twisted, crippled leg supported by a metal brace. He looked up at that store owner with a tear in his eye and he said, sir, I don't run so well myself. That little puppy is going to need someone who understands.
Amen.
That's a friend. That's a friend. A friend is someone who understands you because they know how you feel. Friendship is really loving rather than being loved. That boy loved that little puppy. That puppy didn't even know that boy. You know, someone said one time, chance makes our parents and our family. You don't get to choose that. But choice makes our friends. Choice makes our friends. It's also been said that friendship is one single soul dwelling in two separate bodies. Isn't that good? I'll tell you something. From reading these scriptures here in John chapter 15, I believe we can say that Jesus desired friendship.
Yeah.
I believe we can say with all confidence that Jesus desired these disciples to be his friends. And I want you to say something. God has preserved this Bible. This book is no ordinary book. This book is no library book. This book is no ordinary just man-made ink on pages. This is God's holy, perfect, inerrant, infallible, infinite, and holy Word. Forever settled in heaven. And he says this to you and to me today. That's why he preserved it on these pages. I believe Jesus wants us, you and me, to be his friends. Otherwise it wouldn't be in here. I'm going to tell you something this morning. I don't know where you're at. I don't know where you're going. I don't know where you're coming from exactly. Many of you I've just met recently. But I do want you to understand something. It ought to be a blessing to you to know that the very Savior of the world desires to be your friend.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about someone natural. I'm talking about the supernatural, sovereign God Himself manifested to you and to me in the form of the body of flesh, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten of the Father, that He says, ye are my friends. I want you to be my friends. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. He said, I am your friend. I want you to be my friend. Have you ever had a desire to be someone's friend who didn't want to be your friend? Now, kids all the time, well, how come so-and-so doesn't like me? You know, little kids come home from school and they cry, Johnny was mean to me. Well, probably it's because you kicked them in the face, but they never tell you that part of the story, do they? But the fact is, folks, there's many times where you desire to be friends with someone, but they just don't want to be friends with you. I believe Jesus is in heaven today saying, I want to be friends with you. I want to be your friend. But it's up to you whether or not you're my friend. It's really that's the case today. I'm asking you today to search your heart. I'm going to give you a few things here and we'll be done. But I believe in this scripture we can see who is the friend of Jesus and who isn't the friend of Jesus. And listen, can I say something to you today? Jesus Christ is not on trial. He has done all He can do to offer up His friendship to you and to me. There is no need for you and to me to say Jesus needs to do or be more. He's already done all that He can do. I'm going to look at a few minutes with you today this morning, a couple interesting facts that I see to find out who are the friends of Jesus, and then ask yourself, am I the friend of this man called Jesus? First of all, there's a way that we can see who are the friends of Jesus by their description. A description. I'm not talking about a profile. There's a lot of racial profiling going on, all that kind of thing. I'm just talking about red and yellow, black and white. I'm talking about anybody on the face of this earth can be a friend of Jesus, and it is described to you and to me who these friends are right here in this scripture. Again, look in verse 14. Ye are my friends if. That word if in this verse tells me that Jesus was putting a condition on being His friend. In other words, not everyone is the friend of Jesus. Now, I didn't say He wasn't friendly and offering you the friendship, but not everyone is. Listen, if I am the friend of Jesus, I will obey Him. Amen. This may not compute very well with us because we don't see friendship in this light. We don't see friendship this way. Our earthly friendships, listen, not structured like this, but I'm not talking about an earthly friendship. Remember I said that a real friend loves at all times. And in John 14:15, Jesus said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. If we're going to be the friends of Jesus, then obeying His word, listen, will define and describe our lives. On a job resume, you put all of the things that you can think of that an employer would want to hire you for. On a resume, let's just say, a mock resume, say, Jesus, I want to be your friend. Here's all of the reasons I think I should be your friend. There really only needs to be one thing on that resume. Is Jesus, I desire to obey every word you've ever spoken. Period. You know, that eliminates a lot of people. I said that eliminates a lot of people, sadly.
Amen.
If I'm going to, is your life defined by how you obey Jesus Christ? Is your life, if I was to get to know you and you were to get to know me, would we be able to look at each other and say, wow, there's a person, there's a man, there's a woman, there's a girl, there's a boy who seems to just desire with all of his heart to do what the Bible says? Y'all don't have to get so quiet. I'm talking about being the friend of Jesus. Friendship is in loving rather than being loved. Remember I said that. In being Jesus' friend, He's already more than proved His love for us. He tells me now, I want you to show me, are you really my friends? Are you going to do whatsoever I've commanded you? Are you going to keep my word? If you can honestly say that you hear the Word of God and keep it to the best of your ability, then you can say today with all confidence, yes, I am a friend of Jesus. And if not, then you can't. Obviously, we're not talking about sinless perfection, But we're talking about, above all else, I have a desire to honor and glorify and please my Savior by doing what He wants me to do, by living the life that He wants me to live, by going where He wants me to go, by saying what He wants me to say, by doing what He wants me to do, by living how He wants me to live, by dressing how He wants me to dress, by reading what He wants me to read, by listening to what He wants me to listen to, by watching what He wants me to watch. I desire to please Him and be His friend by doing what He wants me to do. If that's your answer, then my friend, you're on a good path to being the friend of Jesus. Your life will be described. Your life will be defined. You won't have to fill out a resume to help me understand. I'll just spend some time with you. I'll just get to know you. Others that do know you, by the way, know if this is your desire. But we're not talking about others right now. We're looking inward. Is this my desire? Do I desire to please Jesus? Do I desire to be His friend? Well, if I do, I will do what He wants me to do. I will do what He says. Number two, does that describe your life? Number two, I want you to look with me, though, at the dangers of being Jesus' friend. Now, this may sound a little bit odd, but hear me out. Not just the description of Jesus' friends, but the dangers of being Jesus' friend. Verse 16 says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you." There are some dangers to being Jesus' friend. By that I mean, number one, the danger of considering ourselves His peers. The word peers obviously means that we're equal with Him. Dear friend, listen to me. You are not equal with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now that is a blasphemy straight out of hell. Amen. That we are equal with the Savior. Listen, I know the Bible says that we are co-laborers with God and that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. All that means is that we get to enjoy all of the beauties and all of the glory and all of the riches of heaven one day with Jesus Christ. But my friend, listen to me today. The fact that we can be friends of Jesus Christ does never make us His equal. Amen. That's the problem in our world today, is so many people, so many churches, so many religions are trying to say that bring Jesus down to our level where we can all just kind of wallow around in the same muck and mire. I'm not talking about a Jesus that is worldly. I'm talking about a Jesus who is born of the Father, full of grace and truth, and all the deity of God desires and dwells in Him.
Amen.
He's no ordinary man.
Right.
He's no ordinary man. He's God.
Amen.
Still today.
Amen.
God.
Amen.
And the danger of being His friend, yes, I desire to do what He says, and I desire to keep His commandments, but I'm never going to be on equal grounds with Jesus Christ. He's the Savior of the world.
Right.
You see, it's a danger, though, when we talk about being friends, because I don't want you to think, see, I can be your friend and you and me are on the same playing field. We're level ground. You know, I'm not better than you and you're not better than me. We're there. We're all at the foot of the cross together. Are you listening? But the fact is, Jesus Christ is much higher than we are. He is so much greater than we are. He is so much more glorious and powerful than we are. He is God. We can be His friend. He wants us to be His friend. But it must listen, it's never to the point where we begin to call Him the big man upstairs.
Yeah.
Watch yourself. He's not the big man upstairs. He's God.
Amen.
See, that's the problem. Our society has brought Jesus down to where He's some big man upstairs. He's God. And Jesus is as much God as God the Father is God.
Amen.
Yes, He wants our friendship. Yes, He wants us to be close to Him. But He does not. He's never going to be equal with us. The Bible says that He humbled Himself and became a man for a time. And He condescended to men of low estate. Yes. And He died a sinner's death. Yes. But He is never, ever going to be just a common, ordinary man. Never.
Amen.
Never. The dangers of being Jesus' friend is where we begin to think we're equal, even peers with him. Listen, folks, that's a lie. That's blasphemy. It's a great problem, however, in our society today. People dumb down God, they dumb down His Word, they dumb down His house, they dumb down His power, they dumb down His glory, they dumb down everything to make it seem like He's no big deal. He's just another God, He's just another one, there's any old God, everybody's the same. Whatever, Buddha's this, Buddha's that, Muhammad this, Muhammad that, everybody's just the same. No, I'm talking to you about the way, the truth, and the life, the only Savior of the world, amen. Jesus Christ. And He's never going to be man. He's never going to be equal to us. He's never going to be on our level. He is higher than us. He is greater than us. He is the one and only Jesus Christ. In Philippians chapter 2, God said that I have highly exalted Him and I've given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth and under earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There is none other than Jesus. He's the only one. I can be His friend. But I get weary and quite frankly frustrated when people start treating Jesus and talking like Jesus, talking about Jesus like He's a sinner like you and me. I've heard people on the radio, Brother Richard, say that Jesus sinned. That makes my blood boil, Brother Warren. Not the Jesus of this Bible. I don't know what Bible you're reading. I don't know what church you're going to, but that's not the Jesus of heaven. My Jesus never sinned. My Jesus is holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. We can be friends with Him, but we're never going to be equal to Him. Thank God for it, though. I don't want Jesus to be like me. I'm glad Jesus is not like me, because I fail and I mess up and I sin and I do stupid things every day. I'm glad Jesus is higher than I am. Amen. If He wasn't, we would all be doomed for hell. If He wasn't the one and only Savior of the world, save His people from their sins, we'd all be doomed. If He wasn't the spotless, defiled, undefiled Lamb of God, we'd all be doomed for hell. Yeah. Don't ever think that you're on equal grounds with God Almighty or with Jesus Christ. Because He said, I and the Father are one. I'm the same. Amen. We're the same. There's a danger there in considering yourself equal, period, with Jesus. But there's another danger I want you to see with me this morning. Is when you decide to become the friend of Jesus by doing what He says and living your life based on His Word. You're going to have to confront the hatred of this world. Oh boy, this is getting even better, isn't it? Look what it says down here in the Word of God. Verse 17. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, because I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth who?
You.
Us. When we truly begin to obey Jesus' commandments, listen now, don't miss this. Watch now, we put ourselves at odds against the world. We put ourselves on purpose at odds against the world when we begin to obey Jesus' commandments. Dare I say, this is why He has so few friends. Dare I say, this is why Jesus has so few real friends. Because the Bible says, and Jesus just flat out, aren't you glad Jesus didn't beat around the bush and try to tell you everything you want to hear? He said, look, listen, if you're going to be my friends, just get ready. The world's going to hate you. Sometimes I think people look at me and the way I preach and how I stand for old-fashioned Bible fundamentals. And they look at me and they think, well, he just likes for people to hate him. He's just trying to make people hate him. No, I'm not. But I know it's going to happen. The fact is, listen to me. If I want to be a friend with Jesus, I just have to be prepared that it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Hey, can I remind you? They crucified him.
Amen.
And if I begin to do what he says, I'm identifying myself with him. I'm putting myself in his camp. And guess what? They're going to lump me in there with him, the same one who they crucified. By the way, the ones, the 50 million martyrs throughout the Dark Ages. Why were they martyred? Why were they beheaded? Why were they thrown in the waters, drowned alive? Why were they sawed in half? Why were their babies drowned and suffocated? Why? Because simply because they said, I am a Christian. You don't believe me? Go to school, teenagers, and go to your principal's office and start praying in Jesus' name.
Yeah, come on.
Or you can pray in Muhammad's name all day long.
Yeah.
Why is that? Because of what I'm telling you.
That's right.
Because the world hates Jesus.
Amen. That's right.
Do you have any backbone? You're going to need some if you're going to be Jesus' friend.
Amen.
Do you have any old-fashioned guts? You're going to need some if you're going to be Jesus' friend. The dangers of being Jesus' friend is, well, nobody likes me. You're wrong. You're wrong. The world doesn't like you, but those that don't like you, they don't like him either. So, really, is that a big loss? No. If they don't like my Savior, that's okay. I love them anyway, dear friend. But what I'm trying to say to you, if they don't like me because they don't like my Savior, well, I'm not going to pick them over Him.
Amen. Amen.
I'm hurrying. I'm done. Here in a minute. By the way, when a preacher says he's almost done, it doesn't mean anything. Amen. Dangers of being Jesus' friend. You're going to have to realize that He's not your equal. You're going to have to realize the world is going to hate you. But I'm finished with this last thought. There are so many delights, however, that outweigh those dangers, that it's all worth it.
Amen.
The delights, the pleasures, the enjoyment, the thrills of being the friend of Jesus. Verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for who? His friends. You know, those people that hate Jesus, listen to me now, the very death of Jesus Christ on the cross for their souls, it does not mean anything to them. Why? Because they have chosen to hate Him instead. But when you and me decide, I will be the friend of Jesus, I will hear His calling me unto Himself. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The words of Jesus Christ, come unto me, I will be your Savior. I will rescue you. I will redeem you. When we decide to do what He says, then we become His friends, and then His death on the cross means the world to me. Salvation is mine when I choose to do His word, His way. You know, you cannot be saved except you do what Jesus said. Come unto me. Call unto me. All ye that are thirsty, come unto me and drink of the river of the water of life freely.
Amen.
All you that are hungry, all you that are dying in a dry and barren wilderness, come unto me, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest for your souls. I will give you a thirst of cool water for your dry mouths. I will feed your hungry souls. I will make you full. I will make you whole again. I will fix the brokenness, and I will be your Savior, and then you can be my friend. Salvation, you cannot have it outside of Jesus Christ. All of your good works will never save you. All of your baptisms will never save you. All of your church memberships will never save you. All of your goodness, all of your money, all of your charity, all of your help and hope, it will never save you outside of Jesus Christ. And you can never be Jesus' friend until you're born again. He said in John chapter 3, you must be born again. Friendship starts right there. Am I the friend of Jesus? Not if you're lost. Not if you're unsaved. Not if you're going to hell. The way to describe and define and find a friend of Jesus is to find someone who's keeping His commandments, keeping His Word. And He said, first of all, you must be born again. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. His name is Jesus Christ, Lord of Lords, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father, Almighty God. He is the Savior of the world, and He's the only one. And you can be His friend, but it must start with salvation. You must be born again. Born again. Matter of fact, those who are lost could not be further from God, could not be further from Jesus, could not be more separated. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's a great chasm, a great gulf fixed between you and God today if you're not saved. There's no way you can jump across it. There's no way you can climb down through it. There's a great chasm. It's a bottomless pit, and you're on one side and the Savior is on the other side. And listen to me, the only way across that thing is to walk across the blood of Jesus, the cross that was where Jesus died and shed His blood for you. And listen, then you can be reconciled unto a holy God. And then and only then can you be His friend.
Amen.
You must be born again. Salvation is a beautiful joy, pleasure, delight of being His friend. I'm saved. Amen. I am redeemed. No greater song this mortal tongue can sing. Redeemed, I am redeemed. I once was lost, but now I'm found. His love has turned my life around. Amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. I am redeemed. Are you? Are you? If not, you cannot be His friend. Salvation is a glorious delight. I want you to look with me in Scripture, understanding God's Word, verse 15. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things what I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. He said, listen, if you're going to be my friends, you need to do what I say, but then I'll begin to help you understand God's Word. The natural man, the unsaved man, cannot understand this Bible. Some of you are looking at me like this guy's crazy. This man is a dinosaur preaching like this, getting all loud and rowdy. Listen, that's probably because you're not saved. A Christian loves preaching. A Christian loves. You can't preach too hard to a Christian. You can't preach too hard to a Christian. Why? Because this is God's Word.
Yeah.
And a preacher preaching the Bible, boy, that just thrills your heart. That fills you with joy. You're excited to hear about it. It don't matter if he's preaching on your sin or not. You want to hear it. You like to hear it because you know God loves you and He's trying to help you. You can't preach too hard to a Christian.
Amen.
But the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Those who are lost, it's foolishness. This guy's crazy. I just came for the brisket. Man, how long I got to listen to this? You need to get saved.
Amen.
You need to get saved. Because this ain't nothing compared to hell. This ain't nothing compared to the flames of hell that burn for all eternity, where the worm dieth not and the fire is never quenched.
Right.
You need to get saved.
Amen.
Amen. And you'll begin to understand God's Word. You'll begin to understand why we get all excited about it. You'll begin to understand why that's all we talk about around here. That's all we teach and that's all we preach. And that's, by the way, that's all we try to live. We're not perfect, but dear God, we want to be because God said to be perfect.
Amen.
Well, nobody's perfect. Quit excusing your sin. Get right with God or get saved.
Amen.
So tired of it. Nobody's perfect. That's just an excuse for you to keep sinning.
Amen.
Come on, preacher. Tell me the truth. I am. I know nobody's perfect, but I'm not proud of it. God said to be perfect, so I'm striving every day to try to be. I'm never going to be until I get to heaven, but I sure want to please Him until then.
Amen.
Because I want to be His friend. I'm saved. This Bible's alive to me. I read it this morning, and it spoke to my heart. How about you?
Amen.
I read it this morning. I spent time with God this morning in my private place alone with God in this book by the little lamp that I have, and He spoke to my heart. He reminded me that He loves me. He reminded me that I'm in His will. He reminded me that His blood has cleansed me from all sin. He reminded me that I'm born again. He reminded me that there's a mansion waiting for me in heaven. He reminded me that He's my friend and I can be His friend.
Amen.
He spoke to me. This book is not an ordinary book. If it is, you need to get saved. You need to get saved. Christians love this book.
Amen.
You understand God's Word? That's the delight of being a friend. You're saved. That's the delight of being a joy. And finally, answered prayer.
Amen.
Answered prayer. Look in verse 16 again. You have not chosen me, I have chosen you. Ordained you should go and bring forth fruit. And your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask. That's prayer. Whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you. That's prayer. That's Jesus saying to those of you who will do what I say, who will be my friends, not only do you get salvation, eternal life in heaven, not only do you get to understand my word, and through my word I'll speak to you and we'll build a relationship, but in this life you get answers to prayer.
Amen.
Amen.
Prayer is real. You know, prayer is between God and His children.
Yes.
Prayer is between God and His children.
Amen.
Prayer is not a 911 call when you get in trouble,
yeah,
living like the devil. You're mocking God and you're not going to get anywhere. Prayer is between God and His children. Oh, will God hear my prayer? Of course God can hear it, but He's not obligated to answer your prayer because you're not His child.
Right.
You know, I love these children that come to church. But when I have to choose between them and mine, my children are my children. When one's hurting, the other day, Lissa called me. She said, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy, I need you to come help me. I can't start the weed eater." I'm in a shirt and tie, Brother Worcester. I'm doing, you know, pastor stuff. She said, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy, I've been trying for 15 minutes. I said, "Okay, sweetheart, I'll be there in a minute." And I went by and I got some starter fluid and I went by there and I finally got it running. Why? Because my daughter needed me. Some of her yard clients, customers are here today.
Amen.
But listen, we have a Heavenly Father, if you're saved, who desires, delights to answer His children's prayer. And even more so those that are living the life that He has given them to live and obeying His commandments. Jesus said, "Whatsoever you ask, Brian, whatsoever, in my name, ask my Father, He'll give it to you." Why? Because you're my friends. Not just my, not just God's children, but you're my friend. You know, when my children have friends, and they're friends of my children, and my children trust them, listen, then there becomes a special relationship even with me as their father and friends of their children. I'm just telling you, there's a special delight and joy and pleasure in being the friend of Jesus, and there's a privilege, there's an advantage, there's a benefit and a blessing of having prayers answered.
Amen.
How's your prayer life? When's the last time you can say God answered this prayer? Don't raise your hand. Just think about it. Do you even pray other than when you're in trouble? When you need a bill paid? Why don't you pray when everything's going well too? Why don't you get along with God when you're having a good day and say, thank you, Lord, for the blessings that you've poured out upon me? If you're a friend of Jesus, you will. There's a way you can see and pick out people who are friends of Jesus just by seeing if they're doing what Jesus said. Does that describe your life? Does that describe your life? I am doing the best that I can to keep His commandments. There's some dangers, however. Don't ever think that He's equal with us. He's not. He's Jesus. He's God manifest in the flesh. High and lifted up, holy, all-powerful, omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient God.
Amen.
But there's also the danger of facing the fact that the world hates me. Jesus told His disciples, "Woe unto you when all men speak well of you." Is there anybody that dislikes you because of your stand for Jesus? Well, I guarantee you, all you got to do is stand up here and preach a message like this and you'll have some. Is there anybody that dislikes you because of your stand for Jesus and His commandments? Ask yourself that question. Is there anybody at school that doesn't like me anymore because I got saved and I'm living a different life? There should be. If you're Jesus' friend, quite frankly, let me change what I just said. There will be.
Yeah.
I don't want people to not like me. I understand that. But sometimes you're just going to have to face the fact that I choose Jesus. Choose ye this day whom you're going to serve. Is there anybody that dislikes you because of Jesus? Are you saved? Are you truly born again? If you died right now, you fell over in your chair, I promise you I'd stop preaching. Don't try it. I promise you I'd stop preaching. But the bigger question is this. Where would you go?
Yes.
Where would your soul go to be for all eternity? If you're saved, you're saved. Forever. If you're not saved, you'll go to hell. There's no other place. There's no third option. Are you saved this morning? If you're saved, are you the friend of Jesus? Do you have answered prayer? Do you have sweet fellowship with His Word? You understand it and it speaks to you because He lives in your heart and there's nothing between you and Him. There's great delight in being Jesus' friend. There's no greater joy than to walk in truth and to know that I'm Jesus' friend. No amount of money is going to buy that, dear friend. No new car is going to give you that. No new house, no new girlfriend, no new wife, no new husband, no new drug, no new beer, no new alcohol, no new wine, no new liquor, no new cigarettes. Nothing in the world is going to replace the joy and the pleasure of knowing that I am right with God in my heart to the best of my ability. I'm the friend of Jesus. It all starts with salvation. If you're saved today and you know it, you know without a shadow of a doubt that you go straight to heaven. If you died right now, raise your hand. Raise your hand. I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, please. No one looking around. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for listening this morning. Our Father in heaven,